Today is July 24th, 2008, and the book we are reviewing for our website, www.jknirp.com, the National Institute for the Renewal of the Priesthood. The book is titled Pope John Paul II and the Family. The jacket of the book gives us an idea of what is in the book. It reads, Pope John Paul II and the Family is a guided tour of our Holy Father's apostolic exhortation on the role of the Christian family in the modern world, Familiaris Consortio. It is a symposium by 10 authors who comment on the document section by section. Following the article of each is a study guide with questions for discussion. The jacket goes on to say, Familiaris Consortio, published in December 1981, came out of the Pope's reflections on the Synod on the Family held in Rome in 1980. It is a beautifully wrought document intending to draw together and develop the Church's teachings on marriage and to express his own deep concern for the family. The theme has a major concern of John Paul II, as evidenced by the great number of talks and writings he has devoted to the subject both prior to and since his election to the papacy. One of the authors of the present volume, Dr. Joseph Seifert, does not hesitate to say, quote, in my opinion, this document is perhaps the single most important text since the beginning of his pontificate. We who are going to read it will do well to study Familiaris Consortio carefully. And this book provides a helpful commentary as we make our way through its concentrated teaching. And now I have picked out a section in the book to give you an idea of how the book reads out. I picked this one particular section, Our Age Needs Wisdom. I did it for one reason. That is, I am a good fan of the renowned theologian Romano Guardini. And many years ago, Romano Guardini wrote a book called The End of the Modern World. And as is said here, so did he say back then, that we need a new type of prudence. Our era that we live in is different. We have many different new problems that we face, and we therefore need a new type of wisdom. So let's listen to this section. It's not very long, and it has some very good insights in it. In view of the multiplicity and plurality of opinions affecting family life, there is a call for wisdom. Earlier on in the book, it talks about the fact that today, that many of the chores that were once the chores of the family have been taken over by society. This is one of the things that the family faces today. Schools take over. The churches take over. There's so many other institutes that are taking over the role of the family. And it's a different time and age. And therefore, it's calling for a different type of wisdom that goes beyond the wisdom of our grandparents, even though that wisdom still holds strong. But there is something new in the air, and it requires a new breed of wisdom. The section on this goes on to say, our Holy Father, in a recent elocution to the International Family Congress, urged that families be corroborated in their Christian identity so that they may face this pluralistic world in the right way. He therefore exhorts that families be strengthened in Christian faith and determination in order to engage in building a society based on Christian values and moral principles, and thereby effectively carry out the mission of Christ in the world today. It will be through the strength and conviction of families that our culture may be evangelized to accept truth and moral values. It is therefore the role and function of society and culture to enrich and support family values, not to be destructive of them. Thus, it is not the family which has failed. What is failing is the present-day emphasis on the independent, mobile individual caught up in narcissistic goals. Let's repeat that again, because this is a key idea about how our society has changed and why we do need this new wisdom. It is not the family which has failed. What is failing is the present-day emphasis on the independent, mobile individual caught up in narcissistic goals. Notice the idea of the mobile individual, that we're on the move today much more than before. This is truly affecting, influencing the family, and hence the reason for the need for new wisdom. It goes on to say, Catholics under such conditions of change and pluralism can be expected to retain their distinctive family values and thus influence society only on condition that they have a clear understanding of the religious foundations of these values, are adequately motivated to practice them, and enjoy some measure of group support from their co-religionists. This whole idea of support is so important. In today's life, the family cannot stand alone. And what is being emphasized here by the Pope is that we need support from others. We need to reach out for others. We need to provide support for others. The article goes on to say, hence the need for the development of a critical acumen and a discerning moral judgment regarding ingredients and Catholic morality. The intellectual nature of the human person is perfected by wisdom and needs to be, for wisdom gently attracts the mind of the man to a quest and a love for what is true and good. Steeped in wisdom, man passes through visible realities to those unseen. Note here that the idea of wisdom and really being wise is that it gives us a new type of imagination. And in this case, an imagination for what is good and more beautiful. Our era needs much more wisdom, more than bygone ages, if the discoveries made by man are to be further humanized. For the future of the world stands in peril unless wiser men are forthcoming. That last is a quotation from the Church in the Modern World. When we go to the table of contents to understand what this book is all about, we have here, in the introduction, part one, the title of that section is Bright Spots and Shadows for the Family Today. It's an article by the Reverend John Wolseley. Part two is the plan of God for marriage and the family, and it deals with articles 11 to 16 of Pope John Paul II's exhortation on the family. The person who has written it is the Reverend James T. O'Connor. Part three, the role of the Christian family, and this deals with articles 17 to 27, and that is by Dr. Joseph M. Boyle. The role of the Christian family, articles 28 to 38, the Reverend William B. Smith being its author. The role of the Christian family, articles 36 to 41, and the author of that section is the Reverend Henry V. Sattler. The role of the Christian family, articles 42 to 48. And that is written by Dr. Joseph Seifert. The role of the Christian family, articles 49 to 58. And that is written by Dr. William May. The role of the Christian family, articles 59 to 64. And that is written by the Reverend Robert Leavis. Part 4, Pastoral Care of the Family, Stages, Structures, Agents, and Situations. And that is written by the Reverend Monsignor George A. Kelly. Pastoral Care of the Family, Stages, Structures, Agents, and Situations, Articles 73 to 76. And that, again, is by the Reverend Robert Leavis. Pastoral Care of the Family, Stages, Structures, Agents, and Situations, Articles 77 to 86, And that, finally, is by the Reverend Ronald Lawler. I would highly recommend this book. It should be on the library of all parishes. It has a wonderful take on the family, and especially the way Pope John Paul II has treated it. It deals with our times, the changing times, the values that are needed today, that are needed more today than ever before, and a new type of wisdom. And so I hope this helps. This is the first, by the way, ever digitally recorded book review for our website. Let us know what you think about it. This is a very difficult thing for me to do because I'm not really that good at narrating, but I hope this helps. And I hope that you can listen to this at your leisure. And if you are traveling from one place to another, that you download this and put it on your iPod and listen to it while you're driving along. God bless you. Goodbye.